Italy's populist coalition has a plan to boost its sick economy. But does it make any sense? Welcome to Vox Talks from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. My name is Tim Phillips. Italy's economy contracted last quarter. Its public debt is 2.4 trillion euros, and soon its deficit will smash through the 3% EU ceiling. While the populist government floats ideas like a parallel currency and a flat tax, should it be making more fundamental structural reforms? And what will happen if it doesn't? Joining me today is Fabio Gironi of the University of Washington. He's a CEPR fellow. He's an expert on these types of reforms. And he's an Italian who, I note, has chosen to live in a different country. Fabio, welcome back to Vox Talks.
Hi, Tim. Thank you for having me again.
Italy still has the third largest EU economy. So how sick is it?
Italy is a very sick patient. It's been stagnating for a long time, oscillating between, at best, feeble growth and recession. And it carries the burden of massive accumulated government debt.
There's a coalition government at the moment, isn't there? A populist coalition government.
Yes.
Do they agree on what should be done?
Well, it's interesting. They clearly share appetite for spending, but they disagree on what to target. The most important observation is that they share appetite for short-sighted spending, spending that is purely motivated by seeking the consensus of current voters at the expense of future generations.
Now, some Italian politicians have excited everyone by talking up something that's called a mini-bot, which sounds great. Is this the answer?
Oh, no. Most definitely no. Mini-bots would be small denomination IOUs issued by the government to pay creditors. Their proponents, chiefly the head of the Chamber's Budget Committee, Claudio Borghi, these instruments would be underpinned by the ability of recipients to use them to pay future taxes. Their small denomination would facilitate their use as a parallel currency to the euro. Their moneyness would actually depend on the exact details and on the extent to which Italians would become willing to use them for exchanges. It's hard to see how Gresham's law would not kick in with the bad money, the mini-bots chasing the good one, the euro. But in the end, as Draghi observed, either they would be an addition to government debt, or they would be a parallel currency and therefore illegal. And moreover, the problem they are intended to solve is not really a problem. It's not really there. It has already been addressed in the last 2 years with the creation of other instruments.
Ah, this is why everyone's getting so annoyed outside Italy about mini-bots. They are potentially a problem for the functioning of the euro, but also you're saying that they're the wrong medicine anyway.
Yes, the really crucial thing is that this mini-bots idea is part of a plan by the current head of the Chamber's Budget Committee, Mr. Claudio Borghi, and by the head of the Senate Budget Committee, Mr. Alberto Bagnai, to push Italy toward leaving the euro, or Italy being forced out of the euro. Borghi has been very explicit many times on the fact that the parallel circulation of these mini-bots and the ability to use them for payments would facilitate exit, because in his opinion, it would ensure the survival of the payment system through the inevitable crisis that would come with Italy exit. So to those who have been following Italian affairs and have been following how these two characters, Mr. Borghi and Mr. Bagnai, have been pushing toward Italy exit for years, it's transparent what these mini-bots would be.
There are more of us than ever following what's going on in Italy at the moment because the policy ideas are so unconventional, Fabio. Do they have some more conventional ideas?
It's a great question. So far, sadly, other than spending for misguided subsidies to try and secure votes for the five-star movement in the South, rolling back badly needed pension reform to secure the vote of the elderly for the Lega, and what would be a deficit-financed pseudo-flat tax. Italians are actually not seeing any type of spending, for instance, of the type that the country could actually benefit from, such as investment in education, investment in research and development, investment in infrastructure. So it's hard to see, at least up to this point, the type of ideas that Italy really needs.
What do you think the policymakers in Italy should be doing?
Key question. So besides the type of investments in the country's future that I was mentioning, our government should really be focusing on debt reduction. This could be accomplished by cutting spending, and cutting spending would actually create space for eventual reduction of the massive tax burden that Italians have been facing. But Italy, besides debt reduction, really still needs to continue on the path toward structural reforms, reforms of the functioning of both product and the labor market. We still badly need facilitation of competition in provision of services. With respect to the labor market, we badly need to incentivize female labor force participation. The flexibility of both product and labor market in Italy really needs to be enhanced in order to generate both better potential output growth and better resiliency of the economy in responding to business cycle shocks. This is a theme that I and co-authors have been working on for years, and that recently it has been coming back to the forefront of discussions. For instance, at the IMF, Italy took steps in the right direction in the past, but there is a lot to be done. And this without forgetting the fact that Italy also needs, for instance, reform of the judiciary and of civil litigation. For anyone who considers starting any kind of business activity in Italy, the stories about the delays associated with civil litigation in Italy are scary. We badly need to address these problems.
You did mention that Italy has made some reforms in the past. There were some labor market reforms, weren't there? It is possible to make positive changes in Italy, isn't it?
It is, but it's always a fight against entrenched, existing, rent-seeking interests. We have been going through government after government that has chosen the short-sighted seeking of electoral consensus, possibly costly in terms of immediate political consensus, but rather than more beneficial in the long term, path toward making the changes that Italy needs.
After Greece, there isn't much public appetite for drastic reforms. So what's the current chance that structural reforms can be implemented?
Well, Italy needs a Tsipras moment. I'm grateful to Veronica De Romanis for suggesting this definition in a conversation we had. Mm. The question is when and how this moment will materialize, and whether in the eyes of the Italian public, the current government will appear responsible, or whether they'll be successful at blaming this moment on outside forces. And also, Italians should not forget that the current situation and the fact that we need a Tsipras moment is the result of a path of choices, not just by the current government, but a path of choices over the last 25 plus years that really have led to the current situation.
So I'm sorry to ask you this, but what's the worst case for Italy? Could it default? Is there a Eurozone exit on the cards?
Ha, great question. This government, and most specifically the Lega's economic advisors, seem intent on driving toward Italy exit by accident. Politically, it would be a disaster for the government and for its spin doctors if Italy's exit from the euro and the European Union were clearly pinned on them. Their most preferred outcome, therefore, would be, quote-unquote, an accident that, again, quote-unquote, forces Italy to leave, that they could blame on the European Union and on foreigners, same as they have been doing quite successfully with many of Italy's problems. This accident, possibly a success at blaming it on outside forces, would be a disaster for Italy.
Should policymakers and politicians in the rest of Europe be worried about what's going on here?
So far, we're not really seeing any significant contagion. The behavior of sovereign bond spreads relative to the bond shows the clear effect of this government's actions and statements on the Italian bond spread, but not a clear significant contagion. And that's a very good sign for the euro and the European Union. Now, obviously, the accident that this government seems to be seeking would be a major shock, but other European Union countries now have access to new instruments. Think of the European Central Bank's outright monetary transactions that they can use to reduce spreads if needed. And this is important. This is very important. These instruments were not available some years ago. For instance, during the Greek crisis, the situation was quite different. The arsenal at the disposal of the European Central Bank and of European governments is different now than it was 4 or 5 years ago. And so actually, I believe that the euro and the European Union would survive Italy's exit if it happened and move forward. Italy would be the real loser. The current Italian government is really playing with fire. Policymakers and politicians in the rest of Europe should be worried. But as I said, I really think Italy would be the major loser if disaster happened.
Fabio, we'll have you back on when you get the call to become Minister of Finance. But for now, thank you very much.
Thank you for the vote of confidence.
It sounds like you don't fancy the job. If you want to read more of Fabio's opinions on the topic of structural reforms, try discussion paper 12334 from the CEPR. That's called Market Reforms at the Zero Lower Bound. And the authors are Matteo Cacciatore, Roman Duval, Giuseppe Fiori, and Fabio himself. And the IMF World Economic Outlook, April 2016, and that was called Too Slow for Too Long. That has a chapter called Time for a Supply Side Boost. And that built on the work that Fabio and his co-authors did in that discussion paper. That's easy to find online. This has been a Vox Talk from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. Every Friday, we explore the outer limits of economics, and we certainly got to the outer limits today. So subscribe on your podcast platform so you don't miss an episode. And if you do, you'll find a decade of Vox Talks at voxeu.org/vox-talks.